and welcome to Griplock, Foundation Disc Golf's weekly podcast. I'm Hunter, joined as always by Trevor and Connor. And before we get into today's episode, I want to take a moment to thank our sponsors for the episode. This holiday season, I'm giving thanks to our friends at Manscaped. Gift yourself Manscaped or the man in your life who needs it and join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with 20% off and free shipping with the code GRIPLOCKED by going over to manscaped.com. The Performance 4.0 package, we've talked about it all the time. It includes so many different things, but it also includes the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in your nose and ears. The nose and ear hair trimmer has a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system to provide proprietary skin-safe technology that helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate little holes. You can't forget also about Manscaped's new liquid formulations. They're like the pumpkin pie and ice cream after Thanksgiving dinner. You just can't live without it. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and the Crop Reviver Toner Spray. Your balls will be living in turkey heaven with these formulations. And for you gifters out there, to seal the deal, you get two free gifts in their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. That's in addition to the Lawnmower 4.0 that we've talked about a ton, the Weed Whacker, and so many other things. You can find out more over at manscaped.com.
Gifting Manscaped is the ultimate hack to become a family favorite. Manscaped has been busy and just launched their refined body wash and 2-in-1 shampoo plus conditioner. Pretty excited about that, about the run out of shampoo, side note. Both feature the Manscaped signature scent and will help unlock your confidence this year. You, your boys and body will be oh so fresh and so clean when you start off your self-care routine with the ultimate body wash, shampoo, and conditioner.
And one of the best parts of all this, too, is their Manscaped signature scent is what they use in all of their products. So when
consistent.
You're using the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, the Crop Reviver Toner Spray, the deodorant, or the cologne we talked about, it's like three podcasts ago, but that thing's incredible. I'm still using it all the time. And now you have body wash and shampoo, you're just going to be one scent, and it's a great scent to smell. Don't forget, get 20% off and free shipping with the code GRIPLOCKED at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code, one word, GRIPLOCKED at manscaped.com. Be thankful this holiday season for the best gifts of all from Manscaped. Your balls will thank you. All right, let's get into some disc golf.
I feel like we've run into a similar situation this week that we ran into last week.
Okay.
Maybe it wasn't last week, but it was like over the week before or so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But we started Griplock again, and you still look like you're crying.
It's okay.
I know, it's because you yawned or
something. This one wasn't because I yawned.
What the heck?
It's something weird about me. Look at it. See what's happening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something of like when I put on the spot, like I feel like I'm about to yawn, but I'm not. And so now I'm about to cry.
You literally are crying right now.
It's like when I put on the spot.
Think you're like being held hostage on our show.
It's almost like a, not like a nervous tick, but like kind of like a adrenaline kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's always happened. Whenever I have to like talk,
do you get
kind of
like chills?
No. It's just my eyes. I just feel like I'm going to yawn in the back of my throat. And then I start to like cry.
I get that. Mm. I think everybody has something like that. My throat gets really dry.
Yeah, I cry for no reason too.
Well, there's always a reason whenever I cry.
No, okay. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I don't feel like crying. But, I mean, that's why I can make myself cry so easily.
Well, I'm sorry for bringing that up.
No, because I can just recreate that feeling in the back of my throat.
My gosh, that is terrifying. Here comes the tears. Here comes the waterfall.
Okay.
Like, I think also, like, oh my gosh, there's tears coming down his face.
Oh my gosh.
That's what I was saying. That's why it's so easy for me to make myself cry, but my body just naturally does that sometimes.
Well, now that Hunter's in tears, well, this is sad news.
This is actually, thank you.
You could have. I thought you were literally about to just play it off like this is why you were crying. This is actually why. I was going to think that was incredible. But.
I'm going to make myself cry during this segment.
You don't need to. You already are.
Eric Oakley is leaving Dynamic Discs.
Gosh dang it.
So many years of him throwing the felon and just promising us so many great things with that disc. And he's just gone. I just don't know. I am so unexpected.
There are tears streaming down his face right now.
It happened out of nowhere. I feel like I should win an Oscar.
I just feel blindsided. Yeah. You have that, having that in your... Oh my gosh. I didn't see the other side of your face.
There's so many tears.
Oh, I can't do that.
No, but he really is. Eric Oakley really did announce he's leaving Dynamic Disc. Now, this is interesting.
It was out of nowhere.
He was in the middle of a contract. He signed a contract extension. I believe it was supposed to be through next season. So this is over a year early now. And he basically, it's been painted as a mutual agreement. It says that he talked to Jeremy Rusko and all the guys at Dynamic, and they talked about his goals and Dynamic's goals, and they just kind of didn't line up in some ways, and they made a mutual agreement to split and go separate ways.
We know how breakups work. It's never mutual. Come on.
Yeah, it's going to be super weird to see Eric Oakley with like a company that's not Dynamic.
Yeah, so this is a question that Brody brought up on debate night that I actually hadn't thought through, because I have a theory as to like where I think he's going to end up. Mm-hmm. But do you think that when he left, like right now, he already has like a done deal with another company? Like, you think that he had that before he left with Dynamic, or do you think he's like leaving Dynamic with hopes of finding something?
Right. No. So there's two kind of things. Like, whenever you hear somebody's leaving a contract early, there's two scenarios. Scenario one is because you had some kind of renegotiation clause in your contract. It didn't work out, and there's a buyout option or some kind of player option where he can leave. That's unlikely, because that's typically going to happen for a guy who's kind of killing it. No disrespect to Eric Oakley, but he's like a top. He's a top, like, I don't know, 40 player.
Oh my word! Why are you disrespecting
player.
Him?
But like, he's not the type of guy who is. It's probably not that scenario.
Yeah.
But more likely the scenario, and obviously he's valuable to a brand, but he's kind of his valuableness to his brand is very tied to Dynamic. So like, I don't think it's scenario two of a reason why a player would leave their contract is when something, a new opportunity presents itself. This is most likely what happened. Most likely somebody said, hey, you leave Dynamic. Like, he's doing fine with Dynamic, I think. So he's not going to just leave based on what his prospects might be outside of Dynamic, because, you know, the numbers are becoming more public and this and that, but disc golf is still a bit, there's a lot of uncertainty out there. If you like, you get in your deals and you stay in them. So I'm imagining something presented itself. I'm sure, like, I think you and I can probably agree that it's probably has something to do with, you know, all the new mixed bag EV7 retailer contracts, stuff like that, that's going on right now. So like, I'm imagining it's along those lines. He probably wanted to maybe do some stuff that Dynamic just wasn't going to do, maybe. And then this opportunity presented itself, and I don't know. I'm very interested to see what he does.
Yeah. I agree. I think I don't know that he already has something lined up.
He's got some kind of guarantee that he's at least going to sign.
One of the theories I had heard was it's not so mutual. They're like all on good terms, but basically Dynamic wasn't willing to like renegotiate because they're trying to free up cap space to try to land a bigger player. And so they weren't willing to, like, they're like, look, like, it might have been a conversation of like, Heath's like, I want to do this, 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 and this, but I really need more guaranteed, blah, blah, blah. And Dynamic is like, well, look, we're fine with where you're at right now, but we can't give you a bigger contract because we're trying to land our hook in X, Y, or Z player.
Yeah.
And it just kind of was like, well, I understand that. Like, it's hard to be upset at that, but at the same time, I'm upset at that, and just kind of mutually went away. That was one of the theories I saw that I was like, that could be very true.
That makes some sense.
I do think that the open bag is most likely where we're going to see him. I could see like an EV7, like a very Drew Gibson EV7 infinite type of a deal. I also say that because I'm gonna see if it's still on his Instagram story. It's not.
Wow.
Please be on there. Yeah, it is. Okay. He posted on his Instagram story about the end of a Polecat and then Discmania disc. Right? So
well,
two different brands.
Discmania. He used to be on Discmania.
But he was basically posting like two different brands.
Definitely
is like he was throwing.
Yeah, it's alluding to it. Yeah.
If he had signed with another company, you wouldn't be posting about a different company. So if he signed with Innova, you can't throw Discmania anymore.
Yeah.
Vice versa, Discmania and Innova. So he posted about two different companies on his Instagram story.
Yeah.
Which immediately makes me go, if he already has something lined up, it's got to be mixed bag. Or it really was a scenario of he just thinks he can get more elsewhere. And he has also signed with the Disc Golf Pro Management, the same thing as Drew Gibson. Final thing that I thought was interesting is in the video that he was saying, explaining that they'd moved on, he wasn't going to be with Dynamic Disc anymore, he also said, I'm sure we will continue to do some stuff together. Again, if you're signing with another disc manufacturer, you can't continue to do stuff with the previous manufacturer.
Yeah, it's definitely sounding like a mixed bag, EV7, Infinite, perhaps something like that.
Yeah,
that's what it sounded like.
That's where I think he's going.
Shouldn't be. I imagine it won't be too long before we see an announcement. I don't know.
Yeah, for a player on Eric Oakley's skill level, I don't hate this move. Because it's a way that you can...
Really?
Yeah, I don't. To go the mixed bag route. Because he has a big enough like brand following and stuff that he can kind of do some stuff on his own as well. And what this allows is he can run... Let's say that the Felon was great, but you know he's just a great salesman and he really likes the Firebird.
Yeah.
So now he can run Eric Oakley Firebirds and he can keep a... He can run an Eric Oakley stamped harp and just sell them on his own, even regardless.
Yeah.
It kind of is a player where, like, if you're willing to do the hustle, which obviously Ina, is that their couple name? Eric and Tina are willing to because they have whale sacks and everything.
Right.
If you're willing to do that side hustle a bit, having a mixed bag is almost the best spot to be because you can appeal to a bunch of different fan bases.
That's true.
And I could definitely see a company like EV7 scooping him up and, you know, giving him at least somewhat of a guaranteed money and a little bit of sales-based thing to where he has that, a little bit of a guarantee with it, and then possibly be able to get a guarantee with a company, a retail company.
I think we're going to find out. I can tell you firsthand that the Dynamic fans are pretty, like, big on Dynamic.
But
like,
he'll still be able to have... Eric Oakley Felons.
Well, we're gonna find out if the Eric Oakley fan base is, and I suspect that mostly they're just Eric Oakley fans, but we're gonna find out how many of them were just Dynamic fans, and him leaving Dynamic will actually make them not want to be his fan anymore as much. Like, we're gonna find out how much of his image in disc golf was basically a part of being in that Dynamic group and being kind of the face of Dynamic. Honestly, like he's kind of the big name that they have, so. It'll just be interesting to see. Like, I'll just be curious if this time next year, if he's throwing a mixed bag, if he's still as relevant as he was. Because with Dynamic too, it comes with they do a lot of social media stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot of pushing.
So they push and he pushes back. So, you know, if he goes somewhere that doesn't have as big of a media presence, you know, because he's not going to be playing on a ton of lead cards. So that's not where his relevance comes from. You know, it comes from him being. A likable personality and then very active with social media and his company helping him with that as well. So I'll just be curious to see if we're looking back on it next year, if we're like, wow, I haven't heard that name Eric Oakley in a while.
That is true because a company like Dynamic is a lot different than a company like Innova.
Right.
Right. Where if you're a player of Eric Oakley's equal caliber on Innova, I'm trying to think, you're going to be posted about here and there. But it's not going to be an ongoing thing. Innova's not doing like YouTube challenges with you and stuff like that. Whereas that's something that Dynamic, that is what they pride themselves on, is they do a lot more social media push. I hadn't looked at that angle of where when I am seeing content and consuming content that includes Eric Oakley, for me personally, it's always through Dynamic Discs. I couldn't tell you if he puts out YouTube content on his own. I know he does some stuff on his Instagram on his own. So I haven't really watched much of Eric outside of Dynamics. So that is a great point of, like, if I was just a casual disc golf fan, like me personally, I won't be seeing as much of Eric Oakley next year.
Right.
Simply because I follow Dynamic Discs and all of that. I follow Eric on Instagram, but on like YouTube and stuff like that, Eric Oakley would pop up on my newsfeed and stuff through Dynamic Discs. And that's the type of stuff you're going to lose. So that's actually a great point of... He has a great brand, but how much of that brand is because of Dynamic and how much will he be able to keep on his own?
Right.
Now, if he's just throwing us all kinds of loops and he is signing with another company, it'll be interesting to see if that company is able to achieve a similar thing as Dynamic Discs. Like if he went to a MVP, I don't see him going to Discraft, possibly like a Prodigy. If he went to a company like that, are they able to achieve a similar level as the Dynamic Discs, social media wise? The rest of the off-season news as far as player movement is nothing but rumors right now. But if the rumors are true, there could be a very interesting off-season ahead of us.
Yeah.
It was funny because debate night last night, this was Brody's first like disc golf off-season that he's like paying attention to.
Right.
And because this, like, Eric Oakley was the first announcement that he was like, you know, actually, I understand why people are getting excited. Like, this is very interesting. And he was like, man, this is going to be a crazy off-season. And I was like, well, one thing you have to remember is the rumors of players being upset about their contracts and players blah, 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 wanting to move happen every year.
Yes, yes, yes.
But usually what doesn't happen is actual action.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that's different this year is I've heard rumors of players being more upset about like specific monetary things with their contract.
Yeah, it's different now this year because of how many numbers have become public.
Yeah.
Or even if not public, like there's more numbers that are swirling around amongst the players, I think, this year. So now it's like, oh my goodness, I'm actually being underpaid, not like I want to do this and that and like let me just try and leverage my contract. Like people are really, I think we're going to see some shaking up. I mean, and it's crazy too, because you think about last year, like remember Ezra last year, like that didn't even get announced till like March or something. Like that was like the longest saga we had. And like the offseason, it can literally end up lasting months and months.
We'll start hearing players leaving contracts over the next, if it's going to happen, over the next month and a half.
Yeah.
We might not hear where they end up
right.
Until January or February. Because a lot of times, like for instance, when Paul left Innova back in the day,
they want to prepare stuff.
Well, not even that, but he's legally in a contract through December. So the announcement happened, I believe it was like early December, late November, that Paul was leaving Innova. And then like Discraft had like stuff they were ready to announce, but January 1st was like when they could announce it. Mm-hmm. And I remember like the PDGA magazine ran early or something and had a Discraft ad with Paul in it.
Yikes.
And like Innova got really upset. I forgot exactly everything that happened, but essentially, like that's the type of situation is like your contract is through the end of this year a lot of the time. Now, people who are getting out early, like Eric, he could announce tomorrow because he terminated his contract early. So his contract no longer has hold on him.
Yeah.
So that's a different situation than someone whose contract's running up this year and they're deciding to either re-sign or, you know, move on somewhere else. That's a different situation. But it is definitely going to be interesting. Brody actually had a great outside perspective on this of what he's seeing in the sport right now. And he said, it didn't make sense at first, but as he explained it, I was like, that's actually a great point. He said it's like Vine, early day Vine, probably a lot like TikTok right now, but for him, he had a lot of experience with Vine. He said what was happening in Vine is the content creators on Vine weren't content creators originally from anywhere else. Mm-hmm. The people who are getting big on Vine were just like 16-year-olds, like random kids who
I know where you're going
with a month or two later had millions of followers. And so he was basically like, so what was happening is, you have to think, you've been making content on Vine for 2 months and now you're reaching millions of people, and Cookout comes and says, hey, we'll pay you $500 to make a Vine to promote our milkshakes. And they were like, oh my word, $500, that's incredible. He's like, then as Vine continued to grow, YouTubers started getting onto the platform. And YouTubers had been doing brand deals for years. Because they had been on YouTube. Vine was a new platform. YouTubers have been doing brand deals for years. So then they're on the platform and Cookout comes to them and's like, hey, we'll pay you $500 to do this ad for a milkshake. And they're like, 500? No, my rate is $5,000, $5,000. I won't do it for 500. And then Cookout might be like, okay, I will pay you.
Yeah, a lot of times they're like, okay.
Yeah, because Cookout's like, that's worth five grand, whatever. And then, so I'm making this content, $5,000 Cookout shake. Connor, who's my friend through Vine now, did the same ad for $500, and he hears down the rumor line, he has more followers than me, that I got $5,000 for that.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there going, well, what the heck? Mine got more interaction, I have more whatever. So then the whole price of the market went up because YouTubers came in who had agents, who had deals, and once it started like spreading around that, hey, Hunter's making $5,000 for this, and he only has 1 million followers, and Trevor has 3 million followers, and he got paid $500.
Yeah.
Trevor was like, well, then mine's worth $8,000, to where now everyone's like sharing information and it becomes a thing of like,
I wonder,
I'm getting underpaid, I need to do something about it.
Something
Brody said, that's what he thinks is going on in disc golf right now, is the players with agents and the players who are treating themselves more like a business are able to get more money.
Yeah.
And other players just didn't know what was happening until contracts have started to become more public and the players are like, wait a minute, I'm getting that underpaid? Like, I have the same followers and I'm beating this person week in and week out and they're making more money than me.
Yeah, the arms race that's starting to happen now, and it is going to like continue getting crazier as more and more numbers, because like I'm personally rooting for it. Like, release all the contract numbers that you sign. Like, you sign a good deal, like, let's hear about it. Like, I want people to know what's going on. I think it's great to move the sport forward, to have transparency, what people are getting paid, as long as they want it to be that way. But I was wondering the other day, I was like, think we've always talked about how companies have a lot of, like, they sponsor a ton of players. It's kind of like a disc golf thing where like players like are just sponsored, like they're just players that like don't make a ton of noise or move the needle necessarily. But they're kind. I wonder as players get more expensive, like the players that you have to have to drive your product, because like you have a team, right? Like let's say you have like a team like Team Discraft, for example. I know their team pretty well. So you have your big movers, your Paul McBeths, your Missy Gannons. You know, you got guys that also move the needle because they're decent but have personalities, right? And like Yuli, obviously Paige Pierce is in there too. As a big mover. But so like you have those guys, those are like the core guys that like having on your team is guaranteed, like you're going to move the needle. They're worth money. And they're going to compete too. And then you kind of have like your like core team. That's almost like a, let's just build a good family and a good presence out there on the tour. Like that's like your Brian Earhart, who's retiring, your Tim Barhams, who'd be a Vanessa Van Dyken for one of the FPO players. So like, this is like, let's have a good presence out on tour. Let's get a lot of players. And a lot of these contracts now, the reason why this won't completely change is because a lot of their contracts are less guaranteed and more bonus heavy and incentive heavy.
Yeah, a lot of sales.
So it doesn't really, it's like almost zero up front. But as they hear the numbers, they're going to want guaranteed money too. Like everybody's starting to want guaranteed money. So I wonder if teams are going to start thinning out as the bigger core important players get more expensive. And obviously revenue in disc golf is going up. We actually, which one did we see the other day? It was, that was public.
I'm pulling it up right now.
Okay. Yeah. So like, for example, this was, somebody,
I'm gonna give him a shout out. It was Victor Folk.
It's probably like Folk.
It's VF Disc Golf on, VF Disc Golf on Instagram. Victor Folk or Folky, sorry if I'm butchering your last name, on YouTube. Apparently in Sweden, all companies are like, all the companies have to be public. Their profit margins, yeah, all of that, which isn't true here in the US. If you're not a public company, like you can't look
you don't have to report that.
Yeah, stuff. You can't look up
to the public
foundation and figure
you
out.
You do have to do it
with
the IRS.
Yeah, the IRS. But like Sweden, this guy's able to just pull up their normal sales
this
stuff.
This is Latitude
yeah. 64. So it's for 2020, last year, Latitude basically had an increase in sales and profit, I believe, of 544%, which is crazy. To put some grasps on that, we're looking at $14.275 million
in revenue.
Top line revenue. So that's just the raw money they brought in. And let me skip ahead to their profit. They were able to profit $3.4 million.
Right. And their profit might seem a little low, but it's most likely because of the huge surge of money they had in 2020. They probably did spending on infrastructure. I suspect they did some spending.
They definitely did.
Their profit was bad.
To be running a company at, what is that, 25% profit margin?
It's not like it was a bad margin. They had that much profit and they probably did a bunch of spending. Like, yeah. I suspect that like that they bought the machines for Dynamic, but whatever. That's just a theory.
Well, they probably own part of the Dynamic.
Yeah, I don't
manufacturing plant.
Who knows
actually
about that whole thing? But
I thought that was like published in like Swedish newspapers or something. Doesn't matter.
Well, anyway, so the money. My point was that the money in disc golf is increasing. So like that's going to help pay the players, but my thought process as a manufacturer is like, it's important to have a good core team to push your product and like have people that care about your product. But as the money is going up, I'm probably thinking more about spending money on meeting the demand, like increasing basically my efficiency as a factory to produce more discs. And maybe even I'd like to see some more innovation within disc technology. I'd be investing, if I were a disc golf manufacturer right now, I would be investing a lot of money in trying to innovate new things in disc golf, because right now every single company is making like the same four plastic blends, not in the sense that they're the same thing, but the same idea behind them. And they're all making molds that are the same kind of shapes. Like we picked up a driver, one of the McBee's patron guys was throwing a Castoplast Rask. This was the first disc that Castoplast made. I had heard of it, but I didn't realize that on the bottom of the driver, it's almost like there's like a second disc underneath it. Mm-hmm. Kind of think of like a suction cup that like you'd have on, like it's almost like underneath it, and it's It was weird.
Weird.
But let's put it this way. They tried to do something different. Whereas mm-hmm. right now in disc golf, nobody's really trying to innovate the disc, or I think the plastic is where there's a lot of room for innovation, probably because like we just kind of accepted that like Champion Z Lucid, like this is just like
that's the best.
That's
yeah.
the best like durability for plastic. I'd like to see some more money into that. But I think that money is more valuable going there than investing in players. Now, if you're, like I said, if you're still going to do incentive-based contracts, like that's obviously fine. But like if my lower-tier players start asking for guaranteed money, there's a decision to make.
Yeah,
there.
That's where there's a risk as a player, yeah. right? If you're a Paul, Ricky, Calvin, Missy Gannon, Paige Pierce, Kristen Tatar, top-tier player, right? Katrina Allen. If you're a top-tier player, you don't have risk going to a company because basically you can almost say, like, what am I worth to you? And then you can shop yourself around and have an right. agent do it for you and whatever. If you're a lower-tier player, like if you're getting down to maybe not in the top 30 on the Pro Tour and you're hoping to get a guaranteed, even I'd even go higher. Like if you're a...
You could be top 20.
I'm going to just pick someone, okay? I'm going to just go this
Andrew
tier.
Andrew Marweed.
Sure. I was going Casey White. I feel like we're similar.
That's a decent,
similar thing.
Yeah, okay.
If you're on the Andrew Marweed,
a lot better than yeah. Casey White. Let's give him credit.
But let's just go. If you're Andrew Marweed, Casey White, like that middle tier, right, where you can't compete.
I think Andrew Marweed is top 10 in the world right now.
So then that's too high because yeah. Andrew Marweed can get guaranteed.
I say I don't want to slander Andrew Marweed. He's no. really good. Let's go to Casey White.
Let's go
White.
Casey White tier. So Casey White's probably what like.
He's probably
he can
like,
pop in and out.
He can finish top. He can finish like top 15 occasionally.
Yeah. He would have some risk if he walked into a manufacturer demanding a big guarantee contract. Not yeah. massive, but even like a guarantee contract, like 30 grand or more
right.
of like, I need this guarantee. He might be able to get a great royalty structure where he can make six figures.
Mm-hmm.
But to walk in demanding, he's risking stuff because there's a chance of them just being like, I mean, if you think you can find that somewhere else.
Right. Well, players like that don't. They don't really know what their brand loyalty bonus is almost like. So let's yeah. say if you've been with Discraft for a long time, let's say they're like Michael Johansson, right? And like, let's say Michael Johansson, I'm not really sure where he's finishing consistently, but like, let's say he was finishing like top 30 pretty consistently. He's been with Discraft for a long, long time. So he has like Discraft takes care of MJ because he's their guy. And let's say he has a very solid bonus heavy, incentive heavy contract with not really any guaranteed money, if any at all. If he decides to leave Discraft, he might not know, like I'm sure he suspects, but you don't really know until you try to leave how much money Discraft is giving you just because of the fact that you've been so loyal to them. Like that's just an unknown. If he goes out there and he burns that bridge with Discraft, like I'm going to go pursue something else because I won't get enough money here. Then like, he might find out, oh, shoot. Like, that's where it gets
it's
very
a similar thing to,
muddy.
Back to what started this topic, Eric Oakley.
Yeah.
Is in similar shoes right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, very similar, yeah.
Of he's taking a risk. He's betting on himself. But again, we don't know. No one knows how much of his value was because of his tie with Dynamic Discs yeah. and how much of his value is because he's Eric Oakley. That's something that we're going to have to end up finding out. And I think that this offseason is going to be very interesting. Again, that I was very fascinated. There's also Castoplast numbers in that YouTube video of like total profit and all of that. I think they were like 300,000 profit, and I think they did a little over $1 million in sales.
Yeah.
But there's also a few other Swedish companies that I hadn't heard of, but maybe you had. So you can check that video out if you want. I found that very fascinating because I figured it fit right in since we're talking public numbers. But we might end up seeing some more movement this offseason than we originally thought, but time will tell. That's the only thing we can wait on. Yeah. The next thing we had an update on kind of come out was the Disc Golf Pro Tour put out their All-Star Fan Vote update.
I just saw
for
the
MPO and FPO.
Yeah, the FPO came out. Yeah.
So the first tab I had open was the FPO here. So basically the top four are the ones who are going to make up the third card.
Third card. I love that.
And I should...
I don't remember what the format is for
next
year.
Let me open...
I know they're doing skills competitions next year because everybody was heated about the All-Star format last year, including us, and like immediately after they were like, this is what we're going to do next year. And we're like, oh, good.
So the third card...
Thank you.
They're showing us the fan vote results as of right now, from what I understand. Yeah, 4% of fan vote. But that's not all that goes into this. So someone could be in the top four and not make it, from what I understand. Because the third card is 25% tour points, 25% tour championship finish, 25% fan vote and 25% media vote.
Okay.
So they're showing us the standings of fan vote.
Wait, what is that?
Unless the graphic is wrong. What?
What is that? What is that article you found? Is that the one we've always been looking for, or is this a new one? Oh, this is a new one.
This
for the
is a new one, but it does tell it us the tour. It also tells us the player of the year.
That's
25-25-25-25. Again,
what we've been
tour
for.
Points, tour championship finish, fan vote, media vote. Mm. And then the most improved player is 50-50 fan vote, media vote. Mm. So, but basically, for the third card, from what I understand, these posts on Instagram, someone can be in the top four and not make it. Because this is just telling us the fan vote, from what I understand.
Yeah.
So this is only 25% of it. So 10th place, we have Deanne Carey. 9th place, Holly Finley. 8th place, Hannah Macbeth. 7th place, Madison Walker. 6th place, Rebecca Cox. 5th place, Valerie Mandahano. Like, she's a player, for instance, that might be able to sneak in because of how good she played this year.
Yeah.
Even though right now she's in 5th place with 7% of the vote. 4th place is Owen Scoggins, also has 7% of the vote. 3rd place, Juliana Korver, 9% of the fan vote. 2nd place, Heather Young with 13%. And 1st place, Krishna Tatar, of course, with 17% of
she's
the fan vote.
Definitely get in.
She's a definite, assuming that
she'll,
she's able
she'll
to
probably
get
dominate the fan and media votes, I'm
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. She, Krishna Tatar and Heather Young, I would say, are locks.
Yeah.
Juliana Korver, possibly a lock. Once you get to Owen Scoggins, Valerie Mandahano, Rebecca
I'd
Cox.
I have to look at the total standings.
I would say Valerie Mandahano, I'm pretty sure, is going to get in.
Well, I'd have to see the Pro Tour standings to see, like, who finished ninth. Like, who's the...
Well, I feel like Valerie Mandahano is going to get a decent bit of the media vote as well.
Probably.
On the MPO side, 10th place, we have Jeremy Colling, 4% of fan vote. 9th place, Andrew Marweed, guy you just talked about. 8th place, Ezra Aderhold. 7th place, Nate Sexton. 6th place, Nathan Queen. 5th place, Paul Ulibarri. 4th place, Matty O. 3rd place, Simon Lazat. 2nd place, Chris Dickerson. 1st place, Drew Gibson.
Yeah, Nathan
now, this
Queen
is an
will
interesting
get a ton
one.
Of points.
I was going to say, Nathan Queen is in 6th place with 6% of the fan vote, but he won the tour championship.
Yeah.
So it's 25% of it is based on that tour championship
finish.
He'll
probably finish. Get in for that.
So he might get in and knock off someone like Matty O.
Although his finish in, like, on the actual Pro Tour was probably... Well, I guess it wasn't too far back because he was in the finale, but barely. Like,
I think he was 30th to 32nd
range. That part will hurt him.
So, yeah, it's definitely
Dickerson
be,
and Drew will definitely get in.
Yeah, Dickerson and Drew, they both have 13% of the fan vote. They're both way up in the Pro Tour
and
standing. They're going to get the media vote.
Especially like Drew finished.
They're
well
both in. Simon Lazat, I would say, is going to get in. The tough part is he didn't play much on tour this year, right?
Not,
am I crazy for
not
that?
Not a ton.
Yeah, because he didn't make the tour finale.
Yeah, so he probably won't
so
get
that's going to be a tough one for Simon to get in. But 50% of this is made up of the fan and the media vote.
Depends
media and fans
media
are both going to want him there. He has 9% of the fan vote right now. So that one's interesting. Matty O,
Matty
though,
O
will get in over Simon. Paul Ulibarri is where... Paul Ulibarri to Nathan Queen, that's where I think
yeah,
it starts to get
interesting.
Yeah. And below that, Nate Sexton didn't play a ton. Ezra doesn't have enough fan vote, I don't think. So... yeah, it's definitely going to be fun to see who ends up on that. That's just for the third card. The first and second card are already set.
Yeah.
So it will be fun to kind of see that out, and hopefully we'll hear the Player of the Year announcement here shortly as well.
Yeah. Ken Climo, Player of the Year, right?
Ken Climo and Elaine King, Player of the Year. All right, let's jump into a new segment for this offseason. We've done it for the past few weeks, and we're going to continue to do it as long as you keep submitting good ones. This one, they gave us a title.
Ooh,
for the disc golf, disc golf story time.
I love that.
Breezy day at Belmont.
Oh, yeah.
A breezy
that's
day
good.
At Belmont. That sounds
this
like
is,
it could be
this
a,
is
bull-
very,
a little bit of an alliteration.
Yeah.
This is very well written, so buckle up.
Oh, I've been waiting for this.
Yeah,
like
this is great. This is great. All right, here we go. This isn't me. This is starting the story. This sounds like something I would say.
Do we know the person's name or no?
Yes, I can tell you. Their username is JBorders12.
Okay.
All right. I'm ready. Right. I'm ready, Jay.
Let me set the stage. It's a beautiful Saturday afternoon on Labor Day weekend of 2017. The course is Belmont Park in Dayton, Ohio, host of the 1991 World Championships, and it's busier than usual given
that's
the
cool.
holiday. My fantasy football league, the Big Kahuna, has decided to play
heck
a doubles
yeah.
round before our annual draft party that evening.
That sounds like a good day.
This
does
is also
like
the stage for our Sacco punishment. If you're unfamiliar, this punishment is given to the player who comes in last place the year prior. Unfortunately, that person was me.
Mm.
The punishment changes annually, but on this year, the league concocted something unexpected and tragic. They thought it'd be funny to keep me in suspense as well. So I was not expecting anything when I arrived to the course that day. First thing I noticed was a large group of people hanging around the parking lot. As I made my way over, I noticed some clothes spread out on top of my friend's car. It took me a moment, but it became clear that my retribution was to wear those for our round that day. A blouse and a skirt.
Oh, man.
Now, I understand this is not the worst punishment you can think of, and for as far as my fantasy team was the year prior, it could have been much worse. But as someone who's fairly shy and reserved, this was particularly rough. They curated this punishment especially for me. Not to mention, this was the busiest day of the year at this course.
And I was
put on display for everyone to see. So I reluctantly put on the coral V-neck sleeveless blouse.
Coral.
Along with the off-pink patterned skirt. They could have at least tried to match the outfit, but nope. The
real question was, like, what kind of skirt are we talking about? That's the question.
There is a picture.
Oh, thank goodness.
Oh, heck yeah.
Thankfully, they did include some compression shorts for me to wear under the skirt. Did I mention it
that
was windy?
That probably answers my question.
That's kind.
Did
so
I mention
like
it was
a flowy
windy?
Skirt.
Yeah. Maybe it was the dress or some untapped confidence that I found that day, but I started the round on fire. Bombing drives, keeping them in the fairway, hitting putts.
This guy's
going to
be playing a skirt
off the cage.
Forever.
My partner barely had to throw. We were playing best shot doubles. We snagged two quick birds on one and two, and then we hit our first backup.
How can you even like get competitive?
Oh, no, there was a backup. It was that busy that day, so yeah. There was a backup.
As we sat around and waited on hole three, the groups ahead of us got a nice laugh. Most didn't say anything directly to me, but I got all the looks. If anyone asks, I quickly...
That's insensitive.
If anyone asks, I was quick to explain that it was our fantasy football league's punishment for last place. After some waiting and lots of joking around, a group of 10 told us to play through.
Oh, no.
And why wouldn't they? They get to heckle and a free show. Hole three at Belmont Park's a short 250-foot hyzer. The basket's tucked in left behind a few guardians' trees, preventing most shots from attacking the basket off the tee. I was first in the box, so I pull out my yellow DX AVR3.
I like the attention to detail.
Which I typically...
Heck no, man.
Heck no.
AVR3s, hate those.
I like DX AVR3s better than like a star AVR. Doesn't matter. Keep going.
Okay.
So I pulled out my a yellow DX AVR3, which I typically put out on a wide, high hyzer line, ideally to push around the guardian trees.
I'll tell you one thing. That thing's not fading.
That day, I put
or
a little
it
more...
Is early.
That day, I put a little more power behind it and let it rip. The flight looked nice immediately out of my hand, high and wide, just like I intended. It held its hyzer the entire way. Suck it, Connor. He put that. Just kidding. It held its hyzer the entire way and stayed on line with the basket, and then bang.
No
chains.
No kidding.
The 25-plus people watching erupted.
No
cheers,
way.
Cheers, cat calls, laughing.
How could nobody calls? Be filming
that's
that?
The high fives kept coming throughout the rest of the round as word spread throughout the course. I was easy to spot after all. My partner and I ended up shooting 12 under that round, my best double score to date. That was the story of my first ace.
Oh, all
of it is true. And on top
that
of all of that,
absolutely amazing.
I was a trending story on Reddit Disc Golf and got pushed onto Reddit All for a bit. So he was trending on Reddit with this, and that's where the picture can be found.
That is amazing.
That's hilarious.
Oh, shoot. Here is the picture of him in his coral skirt.
I'm walking over.
Well, no, I'll just airdrop it to you because you're going to need it to throw up for the audience to see.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let me just say that fantasy football punishments, if you like look them up, like fun ones to do, are like the most ruthless punishments you'll ever see. Like, they are so bad.
That's funny.
Like, I would, like, there are so many that I'd be like, I'd rather just pay you to not have to do this. I will say that's like a pretty optimal skirt length.
That was such a good story.
Yeah, that was that's
was
what
like
I was looking
really
for.
Really well written.
It was so well written.
I was enticed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be tough to top.
That was good. Breezy day at Belmont.
Oh, heck yeah. Picture's coming. That is.
There it is.
So funny.
There's his AVR3.
That is so funny. It looks like Velma.
So there you have it. Thanks again to Jay Borders 12 for submitting that story. The breezy day at Belmont.
Yes, thank you very much.
What a moment. All right,
great.
Let's jump into the fan favorite segment,
that was
Trevor's
so much
Trivia.
Fun.
Okay. Trevor's Trivia today. This one I've decided to title A Bag Full of Rocks.
Heck yeah.
You like
love
that?
It. I
a bag
love
full
it.
Of rocks. So what I
sounds
did
like my everyday life.
What I did last night in my free time is I decided to go to quite a few Innova players current or previous, and go to their most recent Innova in the bag and take note of how many rocks each of them carries.
Okay.
So the way this game is going to work is I have a list here of players and I have written down how many rocks they carry in their bag in their most recent in the bag with Innova. And then I'm going to ask each of you to guess, and then whoever's for every one that you're off, you know, that's like added to your score,
mm-hmm.
par, if you will. And then whoever is the furthest away loses, whoever's the closest wins.
Do you have to say a different one?
No. And now, important stipulations. You do not have to guess any specifics. It's just the number of rocks.
Here's what I want to do. I want to add something to this game.
Okay.
Because I don't want us to be able to judge each other based on... But I understand we need an audio aspect.
Yes.
So I want us to have our hands behind our back.
And then put them
and
up.
And set a number.
Okay.
And then just go one, you two, can three.
No, we don't even have to go one, two, three. We're going to use the honor system between Connor and I that we're not changing our number.
Okay. Because I like so that we can explain it.
So yeah, so that way you can talk and explain your number, but my number's locked in behind my back. So no matter how much I love your number, my number's locked in. That way,
like
I like it. That way, if there
I am a liar, though.
Is a questionable, like we get to the end, I'm like, Trevor, I need you to check him. You can flash him your number before I go.
Important
that way,
stipulation.
That way there is
that makes sense.
That we can verify.
Important stipulation. Rock threes, classic rock,
the
USDGC, any rock counts.
Gotcha.
Anything that
does
has
rock
in the
does
title.
Does the rock X3 count?
It would. I don't think any of these people had it, but it would.
Because nobody had it.
Yeah, anything that
the
is a rock. It's a great disc.
Everyone calm down.
Okay. Anything that's a rock would count. All right.
Ridiculous.
First player.
Does a V-Rock.
Who's going first? Who's going first this time?
You start.
All right, I'll start out.
The first player is Paul Macbeth.
Macbeth.
2017 was the most recent in the bag that he had with Innova.
He had, I believe he had three McPro Rock 3s, and then he had a Champ Rock 3, and then he had a Metal Flake Rock 3, so I'm going to say 5.
I locked in my answer at 5 as well. I don't remember his Rock 3s, so I'm very confident now in my answer because of how confident Connor was.
So
I just felt like he fluctuated between 5 and 6 depending on the year.
I will
so
say
I
there's
5.
A possibility that he had one more baseline Rock 3 in there.
But he did.
Dang it.
There were 6, and you had it exactly right. He had the Champ 1 and the Metal Flake 1, and then 4.
Oh, I know. There was
I did not have a single bit of...
This is going to be Connor's game, I think.
He fluctuated between 5 and 6, and I couldn't... For some reason, I settled on 5.
I hate that. What kind of idiot only has 3 McPro Rock 3s in their bag? Of course he had 4.
That was amazing. Okay.
Dang it. All right, so we both have 1 point.
The next
one. You don't want points.
A lot of these in the bags are,
yeah,
are 2021. I think 1, 2.
See, I haven't watched any in the bags.
Like 5 of these are 2021 in the bags. So the next player is Big Germ.
Big Germ. Oh, it's Hunter's turn. Hold on. I need to lock in my answer. Don't answer yet.
I'm not answering because I got to think through this.
This is an interesting one. Predominantly a forehand player.
I have my answer.
I'm going to say 2.
I had my answer locked in at 2 as
well. Dang, what the frick, Connor?
My reasoning is, he doesn't throw a lot of rocks.
I don't think he throws much rock. I almost said 0, to be honest with you.
I think it's either 2 or 1.
Yeah, I don't think he has
I don't
many.
Think it's 3. I know he throws a Mako.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like would be like a shark thrower, but I don't think that's true.
The answer is 2.
They're
both Star Rancho rocks. That's his rock of choice.
Go, man.
Nice. We're good at this.
Very well done. The next player, this is also a 2021 in the bag.
Okay, right, so I go first this time.
And
I don't need to tuck my arm on this one.
This one, I'm going to give you this context. I don't really know if it would matter anyways, but I'm going to to give you as much information as possible. This in the bag was done at USDGC. And the next one is Greg Barsby.
Greg Barsby. Shoot.
Are
you locked in, Hunter?
No.
I don't want to start talking out loud yet then.
Obviously, Greg Barsby has one of the most expensive bags out there.
Yeah.
But he also likes throwing weird stuff. So that's where it gets kind of confusing too.
All right, I'm locked in.
I almost want to say that he throws like Millennium mid-ranges, but he doesn't.
He throws Millennium drivers.
I know, but he doesn't throw like the QMS or whatever it is. I am gonna go out on a limb, and I'm gonna say he has one rock in his bag.
Okay.
I was fluctuating between 1 and 2, but I settled on 2.
Okay.
I think he probably normally carries 2, but you might be right because of USDGC. He might have taken some out because I almost went 0 because I just feel like USDGC.
When
he's
gonna
throw
one
rock.
At USDGC?
The answer is 0.
Dang it.
He had 2 coyotes or 3.
Coyotes?
2 or 3 coyotes in his bag.
Whoa.
Dang. Yeah, how cool is that?
Weird.
How cool
so
is
you're
that?
You're at 2, I'm at 3.
Yeah.
Connor's up one. Dang, I should have went zero.
That was a scary one.
That was a scary one.
I felt afraid.
Because Greg could have had anywhere from zero to six.
Yeah.
That's why I thought he was going to have a ton. And
USDGC,
the video,
was, when you gave me the USDGC tidbit, I was like, the only way that information would help me is if he had less rocks. So I just like went on the low end and hoped for the best.
You know, I actually didn't even think about the fact that it was at USDGC until you said it, and then I was more confident with it.
I should have went zero.
Okay, so Connor's up one.
So Connor's first this time.
I'm
first this time.
The next player, this one is a spin TV in the bag, a very good one.
This is one I carry in my bag.
My money nice. Disc, and use it for the control.
Avery Jenkins.
Avery Jenkins.
Oh, was he a big rock
thrower? Avery Jenkins. Avery Jenkins is a big rock thrower.
He had to be.
Avery Jenkins has
what I've year? Got my, what I've year got are we talking?
This is probably anywhere from 2012 to 2014, probably in that range. Maybe even sooner. I mean, he is one of the most prototypical bags out there because his. Yeah.
I'm gonna go five.
Hey, shut up,
Trevor. I'm gonna go five.
Sorry. You can't say prototypical bag. That's just his
obvious. Well, no, I mean, he carries much, rocks.
That's
t-birds.
Pretty much everybody at Innova. So
I went five. I don't really know why. I have no reasoning.
Okay, I am going to say four. I believe. Okay. I know he throws KC rocks, stock KC rocks, and he might have one champ.
Well,
there.
When he said 2012, 2013, I was thinking that's a great rock three runs, and a power thrower like Avery surely would have liked the rock three.
I think he's got three KC rocks and one champ.
He has
rock
zero rock threes. He has four rocks, though.
Oh, but I was right, though.
All KC rocks.
Dang.
I was thinking about
that. So now I'm losing by two. I'm at what? What am I at?
Well, you said, just think about what you are in relation to Connor, because you're down by two.
I'm down by two to Connor.
That's all that matters.
Okay. I'm down by two to Connor. Yeah, I think I'm at like...
Yeah, he just has four. That's how he was with his AVRs, too. He doesn't really go... He throws like a KC Whippet, though, for like overstable stuff for approaches. It's weird.
That's fun.
He is a fun bag, and every single disc is like... Looks like it's beat
you can't
perfection.
You can do... You can easily do four KC rocks, because you can get KC rocks that are really stable... And then
you have
ones,
access,
you ones.
If you have access to KC rocks like he would unlimited pretty much, then yes, because you can have them very easily, like super beat up, mostly beat up, just beat in, perfectly stable.
Yeah.
Definitely
can
be done.
And then through a few backups.
If you don't like throwing on any different angles, then there you go. All right. The next player, Nate Sexton.
It's me, right? Or it's you first.
It's
I
me
first. Another, I lock me in.
I know... Are you locked in?
Not even close.
I think I know.
He's got another interesting.
I know my
bag.
Answer.
Not a typical Innova.
Gosh.
Bag.
Okay.
Oh my God! But is
All
it?
Right, I'm locked.
You're
I'm
locked in. Okay, so I can speak freely
speak
now.
Speak freely. I'm locked.
He's either got one or two.
Okay.
Because I know he throws the Lion. Because I'm guessing that Innova paid him an immense amount of money to do so. Because I've only ever seen him throw it once, and it was on live coverage.
Does a
he
lion
talked
count
about
as
it
as a rock.
He talked about no, because it's not called a rock.
But Connor
a lion is
V-rock.
A V rock. They're the same thing. But he threw it one time on live coverage, and then talked about it while he was doing it, and it was the worst shot of his entire round. He's like,
"Yeah,
I threw
so
the lion
funny.
There. I think they paid him to do it." Anyway, so I know he throws a lion. I know he throws a Mako. And I think, does he have one rock or does he have two rocks in his bag? I'm going to say that Nate Sexton has one rock
Gosh,
in his bag.
Gosh darn it, Connor. My lock-in was one.
Okay.
I was hoping I'd be able to gain something
he,
on
he
you.
He has one.
Okay.
And it's just a KC rock. And in this in the bag in particular, I don't think there was a lion. He just has so many darts. And then he also throws
that's
like
true.
He throws a rat and a caiman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was gonna say he doesn't like. I feel like he's the type of player that like uses fairway drivers more than
he
uses.
Well, he just throws so many
and
forehands.
The dart too.
Yeah,
he throws so many forehands, and yeah, the dart is like. His
I honestly wouldn't have expected
disc.
It to be a KC rock.
Yeah, it's just a kind of either. A typical KC rock. Okay, next player.
How many players are left?
We have three more.
All right,
Calvin Heimberg.
It's
I got no
me.
Idea. It's your turn. Yeah, I've got no
this
idea.
Is one nobody really knows about Calvin Heimberg's bag, other than he throws the Draco. So I never stopped.
I have my
about
locked
it.
In answer. My locked in answer. I'm not going to think about it anymore. I'm my
I'm
locked
going
in
four.
Answer. Okay, I went three. I think he's got.
I don't have a reason. I'm just kind of going off gut feel. I look at a player in my head. I close my eyes. I'm
what
like,
kind of rock guy is he?
Yeah, he's a four guy.
How many rock?
He's got three.
Dang it, Connor!
Heck yeah!
It's the freaking Charlotte in this guy. He just right. is.
Mm,
he's one with
the rocks.
The rocks
are in my bones.
Two more.
He's one with the rocks.
My bones are made out of KC plastic.
He sees a rock and never mind.
We got Ricky Wysocki next.
Oh, Rick.
Another interesting.
Is it? It's my turn this time.
Yeah, but I gotta lock in.
Man, Ricky is. Oh, actually, I think I know the answer to this.
That doesn't help me. All right, I got mine locked in.
I think I remember Ricky throwing more rocks than I would have expected him to.
Oh, gosh, that's not good for my answer.
And I. It's either three or four, and I'm going to go four.
I went three.
Man, the answer is one.
Oh, okay, okay. I gained a point on Connor. Back down to two.
One, really?
Yeah.
That's
in this
actually shocking.
In this particular in the bag, he had like six picks.
When was it from?
This is this year. But
okay, I think
he's a guy who switches up his bag course yeah. to course, so it could change. But
I think I remember watching like his first in the bag with Innova and thinking, man. Wow, he has a lot more like rocks than I yeah. would expect him
he
to.
He switches it up so much, and like he had six pigs in his bag.
That's okay. That's okay.
Like that. It's just hard. Like some players, like Ricky, I just can't picture throwing a mid, which makes sense.
So what are you? Mm-hmm. Are you down by two?
I'm down two again.
Going into the last player?
Yeah.
Who is Garrett Ken Climo?
Oh, dang it.
Ken Climo.
Oh.
This is from the Spin TV in the bag, the one that's like his best one.
I've watched it so
don't,
many times.
Don't say anything yet because I'm not locked in.
I'm not locked in either.
I mean, I've seen it so many times.
I know. I'm just trying to remember this thing.
It's right after he's talking about how his Sonic fits into his Condor.
Condor, yeah.
The thing is, I have to pick a number that I can win with is the issue. Yeah,
I have my answer.
You're right. And you have to lock it in before you hear
I'm
Connor.
Locked in.
That's the other problem.
I'm locked in.
I'm just going to go with six.
Okay.
And just kind of hope that Connor didn't.
I went with five. I was locked
okay,
in.
Well, I can't win no matter
that
what.
That was a smart number to pick for Connor because he knew he couldn't lose with that.
I can't win no matter what.
The answer is four.
Okay. That's interesting.
Dang it.
Yeah. There it is.
That was a fun game.
Bag of rocks. I knew that this would be Connor's chance because Connor remembers that stuff very well.
I thought for sure you were going to say Garrett Gruthy because he's like known for throwing those two glow rocks. Those two glow.
Just didn't think about him. You know?
Yeah, I mean, Garrett Gruthy, I think, is known for his jerky and his distance.
Yeah.
When I hear Garrett Gruthy,
I've never once thought.
He throws a freaking flip up with those glow rocks like better than almost anybody throws a rock.
I don't pay attention. I used to. But I don't anymore pay attention to what disc is being thrown ever by a player.
No.
I used to do that all the time and be a lot like way into that, like knowing what was in people's bags. These days, like I don't look for in the bags anymore.
I can spot a rock from a mile away.
Because I've seen too many.
So long.
Literally one time I went into a disc store near my parents' house and I walked in and looked at their used section. He's like, oh, we've got a whole stack of stuff in the back. And I was like, oh, can you bring it out? Like, I'm looking for something specific. And I was looking for a beat-up Casey Rock. And he brings out a stack of, like, 30 discs this high.
Oh, my gosh.
And I see in the center, and I was like, that's a Casey Rock right there. And he's, like, 20 feet across the store from me.
That's
and I
funny.
Grab it, and it's a Casey Rock. I
nice.
Can just tell.
We're going to actually, this next section is one we're going to hit a few different times this year. We're going to go through a little quick before because we want to get to our in the bag section. So this is welcome to Disc Golf Shark Tank, where you pitch us your ideas.
I just want to say to people that were chirping me on Twitter yesterday, they acting like they I got a couple of replies. I don't know if they were being sarcastic or not. I just feel like I have to defend myself. They were like, oh, so it's like Shark Tank, but you just steal all of their ideas for free. Number one, we're not stealing anybody's ideas. If you think we're actually going to like bring any of these production and then just like act like it was our idea.
We're reading them on a podcast.
Yeah, we're reading them on a podcast.
You'd be able to be like, here, this is where they heard it from Kevin.
And, yeah, and in their names right there. We would get flamed for that.
Like, if anything, we're like documenting it for them.
Yeah, we're not going to do that, obviously. So like, thanks a lot for making me sad on Twitter last night. Like, I thought it would be fun to read people's ideas. We're not out of here trying to profit off of them. Like, what?
So we actually got a decent bit of ideas. I haven't looked through these.
I've already patented most of them.
What?
Yeah. Now, Connor, on the other hand, you got to watch out for that guy.
What I'm planning on doing is I'm going
to wait, one more point.
Yeah,
if you're worried about your idea getting stolen because it's that good, you're probably not going to send it to be read on a podcast, are you? Thank you. Now go ahead.
Good job, Trevor.
Like, come on.
What I'm gonna do,
like, I was just so mad. And I was like, don't reply.
What I'm going to do is these are all going to be in the same order because I'm going to be entering from my laptop every time we do this segment. So then if we re-promote it, it's going to add more.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just go one through five, the first five ideas that were submitted yesterday. And I'm going to read them.
Mm.
And we can just, you know,
talk through. Should we score them? Should we score them? Okay, let's score.
We'll just score them on if we were, if you had, we'll just say this. if you're a multimillionaire, would you invest in this idea?
I like two scores. I like concept and actual feasibility.
Well, no, that you can work that into your yes or no.
Okay.
Would you invest?
Because like some of them are amazing concepts, but not going to be feasible.
Obviously, we're not going to invest. So you can give your reason, like actually invest. So you can give your reason as to why in this metaphorical world that you're Mark Cuban sitting here listening to this, why you would or would not invest.
Okay. Love it.
So this first one's from Kevin.
Kevin.
Says, pretty obvious.
Can we call it Shark 3 Tank?
Yes, that's such a good idea. Why didn't I think of that?
Shark 3. Or Innova Shark Tank?
Shark 3 Tank was better. Shark 3 Tank. I love
good
that.
Job.
That's hilarious.
Dang. From Kevin. This is pretty obvious, but tiny GPS trackers to stick to the bottom of your discs.
This is like April Fool's from Innova way back in the day. Their April Fool's product was like, it was going to be embedded in the disc. This is a no-brainer. I'm surprised if this isn't a Kickstarter yet, it's going to be in the next 2 years. I would place a wager that this is going to be a Kickstarter.
What would you wage?
$10. But what odds are you giving me? This is not a difficult product to make. All it has to be is a tiny GPS chip that can connect to your phone.
Hard part would just be like the batteries and stuff. Because if you look at how small like the Apple AirTag.
Yeah, they haven't got quite gotten
they
small
haven't got
enough.
Small enough
but
yet.
The tech would have to be very basic on them because you really just need to make it to where as soon as you get close to your disc, then it starts to ping. Like I don't necessarily from the T need to see where my disc landed, but I need.
I would like to see like if I'm putting a tracker on my disc, I want to see the RPM, the distance I like the Tobu.
Okay, okay. Well, that's a whole different thing. The Tobu discs. Though. This is just meant for tracking.
No, I don't remember that.
The track.
It basically was a disc that had it built in, and you like there's a new one coming out by like something. To, I don't know. There's a new one on. I've seen it on Instagram, but basically they have it built in, so it's weighted to have this because it's a bigger thing, but it can track your
like
rotation, release speed, how far it went, and in addition, as you get close, it can beep and stuff like that.
That's harder to develop. This thing, if you're just doing the tracker, like, and if it, like, let's say you're within 150 feet of your disc, it works, like, and you're going to find pretty much every disc because you can usually see somewhat where it went. I would say, like, something like that, feasibility and concept, both very realistic, and it's going to happen.
So would you invest?
And you would, because if you, as long as you could get the cost low enough, which I think you could, you could make so much. Like this would get instantly funded on Kickstarter if it was good, and you would make a ton of money.
I'm gonna say for my investment, I'm gonna say no.
Why?
Because the pitch was simply pretty obvious, but tiny GPS tracker to stick to the bottom of your disc.
Yeah.
Nowhere in that does it prove to me that you've created the technology necessary. So I'm just investing in this guy blindly hoping that he can do it.
Well, I was,
I don't think,
I think we were, I think we were, I was drawing the assumption that there was going to be a, yeah, there was going to be a bigger pitch.
But that makes sense. That is good reasoning.
This is the pitch.
That is good reasoning.
Okay. Well, you got to, all right. Now that standard has been set, no, I'm not investing in it either.
Okay. I'm just saying it's like, okay.
I like that though. We'll make him sell it to us. We're going to make him sell it to us.
What was that electric car company? It wasn't Tesla, but it was a guy, it was Nikola. Honestly, I think it's called Nikola. And they basically promised all of this. They had this like sick truck. It was like a sick electronic truck.
Cybertruck.
No, way cooler than that. And they had like shareholder meetings where the truck like there it was like could move, but it basically it was powered under the stage, like had to be plugged in to move, but no one could see that. And then they had like a commercial where it was rolling down a hill, but they shot it so it looked flat, like
it was
driving
in the whole time.
No, like when it was rolling down a hill, they literally sat it on top of the hill.
Oh,
and let it
like
roll.
So it didn't work.
They never had the technology for it to work. He hired his brother as the head of engineering, and his brother was like, just like a blue collar worker. Like he didn't have a chemical engineering background.
How much money?
Like he
was delayed.
They went public. Their stock was through the roof, worth so much money. GE was like partnering with them.
Did they go to jail?
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying.
Because it's like they misled the shareholders.
Is the truck called the Fire Fest?
No. But that's what I'm saying is that guy promised a bunch of great stuff. Because he was going to make like a commercial.
You're making
truck.
This is really deep for the guy that just wants a GPS thing to stick.
Well, I'm just saying.
Fraud.
So,
fraud. You're going to jail.
What's his name?
I would need more evidence from Kevin that capable of taking this product to market for me to be willing to invest.
I will say Kevin. That I feel like the stipulation of like they're pitching it to us, I love. I think that's a good idea.
It's Shark Tank.
But the thing is, I doubt that many of the people that submitted things for this specific episode thought about it like that.
Yeah.
So it might need to be a little bit more lenient.
Under the Hunter scrutiny test, the litmus test.
I was asked, would I invest? My answer was no.
This guy.
That is a good, I like your answer, Hunter.
Unlimited money.
I think
you
have good reasoning.
Thank you.
Okay. I feel
like somebody's got to say that kind of stuff on the show because they're just going to go at it.
Hunter ruined the party, so you got to say you won't invest in it now.
With that reasoning, absolutely, I wouldn't invest because there's no technology for it. But I would say if they had the technology,
I think I could figure out how to make it. That's the problem. Like,
even if it was somebody that wasn't experienced with GPS
to make a thing that the sole purpose was just to connect your phone to location, like, I think
how do you power it?
Huh? You charge it. It's just rechargeable.
Okay.
The hardest part would be the size of it. And what you choose to adhere it to the disc width.
If it's something large enough to be able to fit let's say a micro USB cable, the most typical charging port into,
right,
it's already big enough to change the flight of your disc.
You'd probably want a wireless charging system so it could be smaller, I guess.
But then you have to have some kind of mechanism inside of that can hold the charge.
Yeah. And listen.
So you still have to have a battery.
Yeah. No.
So,
I agree.
But I would say though,
I think it's doable.
If there was any kind of, even if it was the worst technology I'd ever seen, any kind of technology surrounding it, I would invest at least a little bit in it because you know everybody would buy it once.
Everybody would buy it once.
So you make your money back at least.
All right, next one up is David William. He said a disc golf app with just disc golf news, highlights, ranking, courses, and to keep score, basically Bleacher Report and UDisc combined, but for disc golf. I'm going to go ahead and give my answer because I actually have thought this through before. And my answer is no, because the fruit is too low hanging for UDisc to expand into that because they already have such a large market share.
They already have the market. So they already do blog posts too. They're already getting into that. So the only thing that they're missing is just more news. And the thing about disc golf is there's not enough news for their Ulti World is the main source. And we look through Ulti World a lot and they do what they can, but they have to write creative articles that aren't just based on current events to fill their pages.
There's not enough news.
Listen to the
segment we're doing right now.
Right. Exactly.
Well, my other thing is, let's say that this app took off, the first month that it's out there, it's oh wow, people really want this. UDisc would see that and just be we're just going
to
create
literally
our
all
app.
They have to do is add then, a news thing to
yeah
their
just
app.
Add yeah. a news tab. They might already have it, but just promote that it's there, and then boom, your app's all that money you put into development's wasted.
Yes.
All right. Idea number three is from Talon, a golden retriever, but it's on the end of a fishing rod and you can reel it in and cast it with ease. That way the 47 people who passed me trying to get my disc back can have more of a reason to say, catch anything good?
That's funny. I would have a better time throwing the retriever out there than casting it on a fishing rod.
My issue with it is I feel like a collapsible fishing rod, which is what it would have to be,
would be trash.
Wouldn't be good enough to hold the weight and pull in the disc.
The retriever is pretty heavy.
Yeah.
It'd be a very heavy.
You'd have to have a legit fishing rod.
It would be bulky.
It'd
have a reel attached to it. Yeah, that's the problem.
I just don't think it's super realistic.
Now, if this product existed for you to go out to your local park and just for the sole purpose of getting discs out of there.
True.
Because it'd be easy to just cast it out there.
Some guys bring those huge rakes and go out there. So maybe
it's a niche market. So for that reason, I'm out.
Here's a secondary question. If that's the case, and it's just a very niche, one-off thing, why can't you just attach the golden retriever to your fishing rod?
Yeah,
that
very
is a very good point.
You definitely can.
Just get a heavy enough
just
string.
Tie a fishing line that's high enough weight.
High enough, it's not, what is the...
It's weight. It's weight.
No, there's...
Or that, tension?
It's not tension. It's a T word.
It's weight.
But
it's
no,
weight.
The,
I think it's weighted, like they...
Taut.
They, I think they grade it by weight, do they not?
Yeah, they do.
But there's a word for it.
But he's saying there's a word for it. Taut. Toggle.
Just look on one of those. Toggle bait? Is that what you're talking about? That's another fishing word. I know about fishing.
Shaky head.
None of these. This doesn't even have a weight on it. Gosh, what is it? Doesn't matter.
I'm going to hate this for you.
Like, it says 10-pound line, but there's a word for that.
Give Hunter a break.
It
He's
seemed,
never gone
it
fishing
seemed
before.
Like a weight to me.
No, I was.
Hunter's
it, no,
never
like
been
10
fishing.
Pound is there, but it, like, there's a word before it. No, I used to fish all the time.
Big fishing guy.
You actually used to be in fishing tournaments and stuff, right? Tell them about that.
No, I actually didn't. My brother-in-law did. My brother-in-law fished in tournaments a lot. I almost fished in a tournament, but when the guy was coming to pick me up to fish in the tournament, he wrecked with his boat on the way to pick me up, so I didn't get to fish in the tournament.
Why was he driving his boat to pick you up? That's the first problem. That's probably why.
No,
when he ran into a shark.
It was on his trailer. Go ahead. This next idea, part of me doesn't want to read because it's just kind of stupid. But
dang, dude.
Come on.
No, sorry, Corey.
You just said that on air, man.
Well, because like this is he clearly just submitted this as a joke, but I want to go through the first five so that next week I know to start on six.
Okay.
So that's the only reason I'm reading this. Corey said the tree stops any distance in its tracks, allows for players to get continually pissed off as they hit the same tree over and over.
Nice.
So trees.
I'm in.
Okay. Connor's investing. I'm out.
Planting a trees is a good thing, Hunter. You scumbag.
All right. And
you ever hear of Johnny Appleseed, bro? Anyways.
This next one is the same idea as one. But this one's from Jack DiPronio. GPS trip cool. on your disc to track if you lost.
That's going to be a popular
Another
one.
Reason I'd be out is because everyone has this idea.
Somebody explain to me how it can be done. That's our next, that's your task.
No, well, someone is clearly already working on it that knows how it
Maybe
can be done.
Maybe not, though.
And I just, Jack DiPronio, because you only gave me a five-word explanation on the GPS chip, listen, I don't think you're the guy. You're not that guy.
You got to be that guy.
You're not that guy.
Listen, pal. Just because you're first to the market doesn't mean you're going to win.
You're not first, you're last.
All right, well, there you go.
Contradicted what I said.
Welcome to Disc Golf Shark Tank. We're not investing in any of those ideas yet.
All your ideas were trash.
I'm taking trees.
Connor took trees.
Yeah,
trees.
Connor did take trees.
Trees help you breathe.
Connor invested.
He invested $500,000 for 2% equity in the company.
Yeah, and all of the trees. Connor now owns 2% of the trees on the planet.
How many trees do you guys
have?
He
wants royalty on all the fake trees. Okay.
We're now going into what is becoming a favorite segment, the last segment of the show.
Dang
in the back.
I'm losing my favorite status.
Well, it's becoming. You're not losing it. This is partially your segment. This was
technically
this is your idea.
Well, no, it's yes and no. It. Yes and no.
Oh, it wasn't.
Well, it was my idea to bring it to this show.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Not my idea to make this segment.
Your idea to incorporate
it was pitched to us on Disc Golf Shark Tank.
Yeah.
In the bag. This week we're going trends in disc golf. I won last week's in the bag, so Connor has one. I have one. Trevor is on the hot seat.
This is your week, Trevor.
But this is your week.
What's gonna happen is it's gonna get so bad, like I'm never gonna win, and then you guys are gonna like have to throw it for me to.
I get to decide the order. I'm going Connor, me, Trevor.
Oh, you want me to go first?
I want you to go first.
I'm going last twice in 2 weeks in a row.
That's fine. It's the same order as last week.
Yeah.
I like being in the middle.
I was really hoping that I wasn't going to be going first.
Yeah, I don't think first is a good place to be.
Well, I'm trying to help you win.
We have not said the prompt.
Oh, trends in disc golf.
Yeah,
trends
I think you did say that.
In disc golf.
I don't think
so
you
said
that.
So that's like current or past trends.
So this is not necessarily like, oh, these were dumb trends or, oh, these were awesome trends. It's just like these are specific.
Prominent trends
in disc golf. Yeah. So how do you relate with these prominent trends in disc golf?
Yeah.
Give me a second to decide which one I'm going to go with first.
I kind of ordered mine in list of power rankings, so I hope I don't.
Okay, I will go ahead and take the one that everybody's going to want, and I will say a disc golf stool.
Yeah.
It was a very prominent trend in disc golf was everybody carried around a disc golf stool, and it was like a big It was a big thing.
It's true.
I feel like that's a cheap shot because Trevor definitely walked in
and
was explaining the segment yesterday and goes like, for
that's
instance.
Like, that's
goes,
like fourth. He that said, was my crazy. Fourth pick on here.
He
though.
Said, so for like, instance, like stools were such a big
that's
trend.
That's crazy because I feel like you're the one that chose for me to go first.
I did choose that, but I feel like
I'm not
I
hurt.
Thought we all had an understood agreement that if you I'm heard a hurt. Trend from someone else, you weren't taking it. That's fine.
Good.
My trend is Adidas shoes. When Paul first got signed by Adidas, that was the only shoe you saw anywhere on the course. Still kind of a trend, but it's died out. I'm seeing a lot more New Balance and Nike
nowadays.
Yeah, I don't
know. I would have just said trail shoes.
Well, no, because that's like, trail shoes are just the best shoe for disc golf. That's
yeah, but it wasn't, but it that was a trend in disc golf. Like, people
that's
sneakers.
Not a trend. That's
I don't
just
feel as much shoe. Like that's a trend just because I feel like people still do it a lot, and it's kind of scattered,
but Adidas,
always been scattered.
Adidas was a trend. The Adidas trail shoes.
It wasn't a trend. Because it's still going on.
No,
it's
not.
A trend can still be
trends
happening.
Are, the
it's
trend
trending.
Is dying off, is what I'm saying.
We didn't
is
say
that's
dying
why
off?
It was a trend. Yeah, have you not seen all the New Balance and
it's
Nike
definitely
trail
not
shoes?
As popular.
It's not
as
popular.
Go out to a course and look at the shoes.
It can still be happening.
No, I'm not earlier. Every single
no, you're
argument.
You're coming after me.
No, every single
you're
argument.
After me.
Hold on. Every
you're
single
coming
argument.
After me. You're coming after me.
Every single.
Let me fight.
Every single argument I have against yours is also like would also work for stools. So I'm for that reason I'm out.
All right, so I get two picks now. This first pick I thought of, and I think this is a really good one, and it is wearing headphones while playing. Are you seriously going to... Are you really going to go quiet on that? That's a great one.
I don't really think it's
I didn't have a
yet.
Response.
I don't really think
I didn't
a
have a response
yet.
For it.
When Kevin Jones started wearing AirPods, AirPods, for example, I started noticing a bajillion people start wearing AirPods
I
while
haven't
playing.
Noticed it yet.
Are you serious?
I remember.
If you go to a tournament, there's always at least one person that's wearing headphones.
Last time I checked, Johnny McRae's been wearing headphones since like the 90s.
Right, but it's a trend in disc golf, wearing headphones.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I think that's a good one.
My second pick is carts. Using carts.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a very good one.
See, this is where I struggled with this thing, is because like I don't feel like that's a trend, because I feel like that's just like the future of the sport. It's like evolving.
That means it's trending that way. It is a trend.
But a trend to me is something that like comes in and goes out.
That would be more like a fab. A fad, rather.
But see, like, that's what I think of trend. I think a trend and fad is the same.
No, I think a fad is something that was like in and out.
Yeah,
but a trend is something.
A fashion trend doesn't stick around. It's a trend.
But a trend can be present.
But a trend can be trending.
Yeah, it can be trending.
A fab can't be fabbing.
Yeah. A fad can't be fad. Yeah.
Careful over there, Connor.
Carts is a trend because it is trending that way.
No, I was just saying like that's where I struggled with this prompt.
No, I understand.
It's a difficult prompt.
I don't see carts aren't a trend because that's like, just like backpacks aren't a trend because that's just the sport.
That's why you felt like Adidas weren't a trend because there's like people just wear Adidas.
Well, that's why I didn't say trail shoes because people just wear trail shoes, but there's just a lot less Adidas now than there used
to be. I don't think it's ever going
to be a part of a lot less carts than there used to be. I think there's only going to be more carts.
But then, in that case, though, when it first came about, it was a trend. So it's trend.
All right, when it first started happening, then you could say it was a trend.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I hope you win this week, Trevor.
I just feel like I just had two amazing picks and I got ghosted. And maybe that's just, I'm just on the wrong side of an inside joke, but like the headphones
I thought it was the perfect niche.
No, really the reason, I wasn't like amazed by it, but I also wasn't appalled by it. So I just genuinely didn't have a reaction to it.
Whatever.
And so, but then it was really quiet. And
I've accepted
it.
I'm
going to
lose
really
every
quiet.
Week.
So I just stayed really quiet.
I just
didn't, funny.
I haven't noticed that trend and the cart thing.
Here's the reason I really picked it is because every time I see a player who isn't like Barry Schultz or Kevin Jones, the two guys that are kind of known for it, or Johnny McRae, every time I see them wear headphones, I think to myself, oh, they're trying to be like Kevin Jones or Johnny McRae or Barry. I would
think the same thing.
Right. So that's kind of why, when I thought of it, I was like, that's a trend because they set the trend and then people copy them.
Sure. Sure.
All right.
Back to me. My next one is, this is an interesting one because I sucked at this prompt, so I'm prepared to lose, but not throwing your putting putters.
Okay.
Okay. No, that's fair.
Yeah.
Because I was just trying to think of something that we all do and we don't really know
why
we do.
No, that's a trend.
It.
And if you look back,
reasoning. I know exactly why I don't throw my putting putters.
If you look way back, Ken Climo's in the bag, he threw like his putting putters. There are guys back then who just like a putter's a putter. And like this is the one I like to putt with.
But like the reasoning, I think that's a good one, but I just want to be clear, like, the reason you don't throw your putting putters is because if you throw it, there can be unexpected hits on rocks or hits on trees.
Yeah.
That fundamentally changes the way your putting putter
flies. Here's the thing,
but it wasn't always
about,
that way.
But here's what's weird about me.
Or there's a huge nick where you typically put your
finger. Here's the thing weird about me. I like my putting putters beat in.
Okay.
Like I like a beat up putting putter, but for some reason I don't throw them. So the only way mine are getting beat in is by putting.
The reason
that's why I love my putting putters like 2 years in, but I'm like, why didn't I just throw them? I could get there in
to
two
Connor's
months.
Point, though, yeah, the reason I wouldn't throw my putting putter is I don't mind wear and tear. What I do mind is a big gash.
Yeah.
I have a massive gash in my putting putter.
That's true.
Right now.
This guy doesn't care.
That's my main putting putter.
That's a good answer, though.
I was trying to think of something that, like,
it's a good answer. I just wanted to make sure. There's a reason.
I went to write done next to my thing and I wrote dad. Put parentheses and put dad.
Okay, Connor.
All right, my turn. This is my favorite one. I'm going to go in and just say it right now.
Okay.
The Paul Macbeth windmill forehand.
Oh, wow. Fantastic.
Incredible.
Pick.
Thank
you.
So good. I even thought about the form things and I couldn't
really think of one. That's a great one.
Because Paul doesn't do it as much now.
No.
But
really
there was a time where he would do the full.
Yeah.
And
so many
everybody.
I myself
did it for a while.
That's a winning answer.
That is incredible.
Thank you. That's the one I thought of this morning and I was very proud of it.
Dang it,
so
Connor.
Good. I was trying to think of
you
different
get to pick
form
two.
Things.
You get to pick two.
The only form one I could think of was like the disc pump where everybody kind of like pumps the disc out before starting the next step.
Yeah,
but I was like, that's not going to look good on paper. Yours, it will.
And I even came up with the name, like
the
Paul
windmill.
Has anybody ever called it that?
No.
That was just the best way I could
think of
it.
No, that makes sense, though.
Fantastic.
Wow.
Great answer.
All right, so I get to pick another one, and we're doing four.
Four.
Yeah.
Tough. Okay, there is one that I want to get rid of out of my list. So I'm going to say color exclusive bags.
I thought about that one.
People who throw like my whole bag is blue.
Okay.
Like exclusively. Like I will only buy a blue disc or I will only buy a pink disc. So that is, I don't have a problem with it. It's just I think that it was a pretty big trend.
Yeah.
It is sometimes still.
This one was, I'm proud. Holy frick. He almost just launched himself out of the chair with that sneeze. I'm proud of this one.
Okay.
Huck Lab Discs.
Yeah, this is on my list.
I thought about that one.
Okay, this maybe I'm not so proud of it. Fine.
This was on
my
list.
That was like the disc off trend.
Yeah, it is. This is on my list, and I was going to pick it next.
I paid $35 for Huck Lab stamp disc once. Not die disc, stamp disc.
I still would.
I still would. 100%.
I would, but I feel like new disc off would be like, ironic. What the frick is
that just
for?
Like, let's make it a trend to have like the worst like off-brand Huck Lab stamp. Like,
I already
like,
have
with
one.
Just like Sharpie. Like, it just
Sharpie
awful. I'm going to do that on one of my rocks.
Okay. It will fade, Sharpie.
I know, but that's even funnier. Disasters. It's just like an awful Huck Lab stamp. Too.
Okay, I'm going to pick my last two now. I did have Huck Lab on there. That was going to be my next pick. So I'm going to...
I feel like you're going to choose
my next one. Trend is throwing Discraft.
Okay.
Big trend.
That was a big trend.
Nobody really threw Discraft. Paul switched Discraft. Now everybody throws Discraft.
That is, it's very trend. Generic, it's but
probably,
it's very good.
Yeah, it's too big of a trend because it's probably the most prominent trend in disc golf right now is throwing Discraft.
Especially that it so quickly went from no one, like, not no one, but very few people.
People were just
threw
throwing
it.
The buzz. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Right.
And then to,
and now it's like it's your whole bag.
Yeah, it's everybody.
It's like the Adidas shoe trend.
Let's see. What do I want? What do I want for my last? My last trend is going to be.
Somebody's going to take
USDGC rocks.
Oh.
Interesting.
This is an old trend. So this one, I think we all know about this trend. But this is a kind of an older one, and this was like every Innova throwing pro back in the day always had like their normal rocks, and then their last rock would be their stable one, and it was always a USDGC rock from
like a
some
champ rock.
Yeah, like a champ rock from some random year.
I do remember when I
this is going to give me 0 points on Twitter, but it's I just love this trend so much because of like me as like I just remember being like a 14-year-old. And like wanting to emulate pros bags, but USDGC rocks cost like this is the best part about this trend is they cost like at least $50 if you wanted to get one. Yeah. And if you wanted like an 07 or like an older one, hundreds of dollars.
Yeah. When I went to my first USDGC, it was like they ran the champ rock. I don't even think they run them anymore.
They don't. I don't think they do. And it was it was a limited release every year.
I got my hands on one and I felt like the coolest person on earth.
Yeah.
I threw it. Hated it, but kept it in my bag so that I could have that US rock when I did my fake in the bags in front of the mirror.
Yeah, if you go back to watch old Innova in the bags, you will see like every pro is like, here's all my KC rocks. And oh, this is before the Rock 3 existed. So if they wanted a champion blend stable rock, they all had an old USDGC rock. Please tell me our podcast listeners get that one.
I don't think they're going to.
I don't think they are either. I feel bad for you.
Yeah. I don't think you did it. I think Connor
Trevor, at
it
least
off.
So far with this segment, there's to, been one of yours every single time that I'm like, I would never think about that, and I'm not, I don't.
It's not
necessarily
a bad answer.
I don't really regret not thinking.
I'm not
about
trying
it.
To play. Here's the thing. I'm being bullied. Here's the thing. Every
ammo.
I had.
Yeah, come on, man. That was ruthless.
Sorry, that was way off.
There was good reasoning behind that joke.
To come after
there was,
like
but it was. It's a similar.
I'm not trying to win. I'm trying to make the best list. Like this. Like I have so many.
To win.
I have like 20 things on this
list. Connor won this week. I still have to give my fourth answer.
I have.
So does Connor.
I'm just saying. I have like 20 things on this list. I'm not going to name because you guys might pick them. But like almost every single one of them would probably appeal to our audience more because they're more current trends.
But this is real to you.
But yeah, I want to pick my list.
I respect that.
So like,
I
don't care
you.
If I lose every week. Like, I'm going to pick the list that I think resonates with me the most.
I respect you.
I'm
eventually, if I keep crying on the mic, I will get sympathy votes. So
my final trend.
Don't do it.
I'm going with carrying
all right.
four molds.
All right, I'm good.
That used to be the trend. You'd had the Aviar, the Rock, the T-Bird, the Destroyer.
I don't think you're
going
to
count Firebird in there.
First off, I already said I'm not winning. Connor won.
That was not a good one.
The windmill. All right, Mr.
Oh,
AirPod
how does that feel?
And Whammo.
See, how does that feel? No, I literally just said that because not because I thought your answer was dumb, but because I wanted you to know how it feels.
Well, let's just walk through this. Your trend is
so
specific.
Intense.
Your trend is specific to only Innova pros because us regular people couldn't get our hands on.
Correct. Not Innova pros.
When you were throwing Innova, did you ever try to be a mold minimalist?
Yeah.
Did you?
But you don't carry
did
four, you?
You
carry five. You left out like the staple.
Did you? Were you ever a mold minimalist? You just cycled discs.
Yeah, we all did.
Oh!
You should have named...
Would you say it was a trend?
Well, you should have named it your trend mold minimalist.
All right,
and I know you're going
to... All right,
you're gonna
name it mold minimalist.
No, you can't change your answer.
Oh, what is that? Oh, my word.
You better say four molds on Twitter.
Yeah.
You better say four because you said four.
Because I am picking my wording very carefully.
Yeah,
because
mold minimalist would have been a great...
I have no...
You need to. It's
that would have been a great answer. But four molds, you just left out Firebird.
I sit beside you while you make the graphic.
Yeah.
You left out...
This afternoon, you're going to watch me type mold minimalist because that's what I was saying.
Nope.
That's
no, it's not what you
that's
said.
That's the trend.
It's four not.
Molds.
You said no, carrying
you said
four
carrying
molds.
Carrying four molds, which I do not. Yeah.
Yeah.
I,
if you would have said mold minimalist, would have agreed. You said yes. Carrying four molds. That's literally what you said. Yeah, I think you're going to lose all your votes just for this controversy.
I'm losing this.
Congratulations to Connor.
Connor right. already won.
My last pick is one that I am baffled that none of you took. I should have said it as my first one because honestly, my first two kind of sucked.
Mm-hmm.
But here we go. The rangefinder.
Oh, that was good.
Same logic as the cart for me. That's not a trend.
Yes, it definitely is a trend.
It
definitely
is a trend. It, like, everybody started...
Yeah, nobody was using them.
And
everybody is now using them.
Yeah.
That is a trend. Like,
but
what is,
a trend's going to die.
Trends are allowed to die. Like, this is a very...
Honestly, we don't know.
The rangefinder's not going
to
die.
We don't know that
okay,
yet.
Okay, but a trend doesn't have to die. Like, just because... Yeah, and then if
people thought that colored TV was going to die.
Yeah, but like, that's the
that's
thing. Like, the iPhone, when it first came out, it hasn't died, but it was a trend when it first came out. People started using smartphones. I don't think you understand what that trend means.
I'm going to look up the definition.
Okay, please. Because like, something can still be happening and it still be a trend. A general direction in which something is developing or changing.
So I'm thinking of it this way.
That sounds about right to me.
No, yeah, you're right. That would be line up with y'all.
Yes.
I'm thinking of it in the social media trend, which is like a short period of time.
Yeah, I think that's...
Because like a social media trend dies.
Right.
Like it's a trend for
that's,
to happen.
I don't think
it
we use that.
Anymore.
We don't really use that word correctly then.
Yeah,
because trend indicates a direction.
Because like, that's why I had such a hard time with this. I could have thought of a million things that like started and were always going to happen.
I hate that for you.
But I still was having a hard time because I was trying to think of something that, like people don't do anymore. That's why
that
I came up with the mold minimalist and the Huck Lab. I was
you didn't
to think
come
of,
up
like,
with mold minimalist. You
I
came
did.
Up with four molds. If I promise you, if you guys
I'm
are listening to this,
mold minimalist.
You need to. Then you're going to be destroyed for that. You need to.
That's
everybody,
okay.
Oh my
That's
gosh.
That's what I was saying.
That is such bad sport. Oh, can I go ahead and change mine to specific wording that I wanted to now? Can I do that?
Well, it's like you said.
Are we all allowed to do that now?
If it's like the general thing you were saying, yeah.
But it wasn't the general thing you were saying.
Oh,
you said four molds and then change it.
I walk up.
Well, in case
this is actually what's going to happen this afternoon. I'm going to walk back up to them and say, hey, what was your list? And whatever they tell me is what I write. So they have fair game to just say what they say.
Yeah, except it's not going to benefit any of us nearly as much as you changing your like the entire essence of your answer.
No, that was the essence of my answer.
No,
it was mold minimalist.
You changed your answer.
Yeah,
but
because
the essence of my
answer
was
your
mold
answer was four,
Connor
and then
won
in case
way.
Anybody else had 5, 6, or 7 in their mind, now your answer fits all their shoes too.
But that was the essence of my answer.
You made a mistake.
You made a mistake. You corrected it in your head quickly, changed it, and now it's going to benefit you. Like, you know that, and you know what you're doing.
Everybody's gonna hate this segment.
I don't understand. I don't understand what I'm doing so wrong. The essence of my answer was
Hunter is like Hunter is easily the best person at playing the victim when he knows he's being evil.
I'm not
brain.
Being evil.
It's called BSing.
I was talking about cycling.
He's so
was
good.
Was I not
at
talking
it.
About cycling
look
a disc?
Look, but he's so good at playing innocent.
But
look
the
at him
problem
go.
Is, you said four molds. That would have gotten
typed,
a lot.
I typed three molds. I forgot about the AVR. I added four.
So you were even further. But like you.
But I was just the whole essence was we all cycled discs.
I agree.
That was the essence.
Four molds.
So mold minimalist was just a better way to
four molds.
I
could easily
that is a better way to put it.
Yes.
I didn't think of it before.
It is
it's saying
about
the same
it first.
Thing.
It's not saying the same thing. It's saying
I said
not
it,
a specific
okay.
number instead of a specific number.
Well, you can go when you're on Twitter, feel free to quote tweet it and come after me because it's going to say mold minimalist because that was the essence
that,
of what I was going
that's
for.
Crime. If you win, it doesn't count. It doesn't count. It has an asterisk next to it. Like I okay, if you're thinking about voting
which
for me,
USDGC is it?
Hey,
no,
hey,
where
the
you're thinking about voting for
me. Let me explain something to you.
When and he does this too, hey. When he acts like he's your father and is like,
no.
Now, listen, everybody, calm down. I'm not mad.
I want you to explain
something.
I think
I'm going to end the podcast.
Last week when you said whammo,
yes.
I went on to change your answer to put, what was it? I was going to put starter pack.
And what
driver.
Did I say?
You're
I
like,
said,
no, it
no,
needs to be whammo.
Stick to whammo because
yeah.
that's my original answer.
Yeah, but I was
and
just so, saying.
You're helping my point right now.
No,
what are you
I was saying like, I'm willing
you
to go
you tried
to
cheat
essence,
for me and
I
said no.
The essence of your answer was starter pack driver. And I was like, hey,
yeah.
that makes way
and
more sense.
And then what did
sense.
I say? I
whammo.
Said, no, I need to stick with what I said.
And I said, okay, if you want to do that, that's fine.
So,
I don't want to do that. I want to go to the essence of my answer, mold
right,
minimalist.
So you want to do what
I'm giving you
want
to I'm giving myself the same chance I gave you. And that's all I expect from us.
All right, you win, Hunter. You win.
If you're going to vote for me, change my vote to Connor because
Connor deserves to win this because the Palm and Beth windmill is the greatest answer. Let's not overlook that.
I appreciate that.
Let's not give my mold minimalist answer unnecessary praise here. Connor deserves the windmill answer to win.
He just right. It's just crime. It's we'll organized next crime.
Week. Oh, no. We got to talk about college disc golf super quick. I just got to go through this. College disc golf, we had the Flamethrower. Liberty University took it down. NC State came in second and third. And we had the Mid-South Collegiate Open with Illinois State taking it down. Iowa State second. Missouri S&T third. And there was a playoff for the qualifying bid that was won by Kansas State. So congratulations shout to all those teams.
Shout out to the Liberty D team for beating the Liberty A team in the first round of doubles.
Heck yeah.
That's electric. I can just tell you right now, if I was on that bus, or well, I guess they weren't traveling, but like... It would have been chaos.
It would have been chaos. Liberty A team was not showing their face.
It would have been chaos. We would, because like, oh man, that's the best.
No,
nothing like rubbing in the face of the top guys.
Yeah.
All right. Hopefully you enjoyed this podcast coming out on Wednesday.
I sure did.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
And if you like the merch that Trevor's rocking or that I'm rocking, you can check out our new merch line coming out next week. Don't forget about the Rocket Roach dropping 2 days from now. And also don't forget to check out the Bogey Bro Banter. Welcoming in Ezra Aderhold to be joining us for the Bogey Bro Banter coming out tomorrow. You're not going to miss that. We talk about all things...
We start talking for 15 minutes, and then we get in an argument, and we argue for the rest of the podcast.
Yeah. All right.
You guys will love it.
Yeah. Don't forget to go over to Twitter and vote for the In the Bag segment. You'll find it on Twitter. The post will have the graphic, and then you can vote right below.
And it will have something that wasn't actually Hunter's answer.
I mean, if we want to take that stance, that's okay. I go with the essence of what I was saying.
All right.
We'll see you next week.
So messed up.